5.
Okay, the Conference Committee for Jobs and Economic Development for May 14th will come to order. See, I think we have an offer that is being printed up. I don't know if it's being printed up, but it's being finalized, and I think
the typos are being fixed.
The typos should be fixed, and I think we agree on it. But as long as it's not here yet, Ms. Newman, do you have some stuff for us to do? Let's take a look at some amendments.
We get a pop and we'll share it. Representative Gunther's food.
I know he likes. He's a good.
We have lots of.
Yeah, I'm ready. No, I'm ready. Oh. We should have Carla. Where's Carla?
Pretty good.
Carla.
They're perfect. That's good.
Thanks. Our salami's coming.
Oh, okay.
I just generally.
See the way I caught that cheese curd? Just like an old catcher.
We're getting to that point, though.
Check your eyes out. Jackie Robinson. Come on. Really?
Do you want to explain it? Do you know how to explain it? Or?
Mr. Chair and members, this is a rewrite of the Trade Policy Advisory Council that has attempted to take in the most recent changes that the Department of Employment and Economic Development and the governor have requested. It increases the council to a 15-member council. It has the commissioners of deed, ag, and administration on it. And it gives the council a little more leeway instead of being quite so prescriptive on what they have to do. They do no longer have to do a report, but they have to meet once, and the council sunsets by January 1st, 2020. And this, Mr. Chair, this is working off the Senate language. It amends the Senate
and
language.
And this is Peace in the Valley?
It's the most recent request from the department, Mr. Chair.
And is there anybody that has anybody who's interested in this have any comments or objections to this? Okay, so then Representative Mahoney will move the A48 amendment.
Mr. Chair, do you have objections, Mr. Lee?
Go ahead. Say your name for the record.
My name, Mr. Chair, members, my name is Josh Wes. I'm with the Minnesota Fair Trade Coalition. Just looking at this, the first time I've had a chance to look at it, this doesn't reflect what we were told the language would be from deed.
What were you told?
My understanding was that they would keep in the names of the appointments to members from organized labor, from trade, from business, et cetera, the original Senate language, and then there would be a clause after that saying that if the governor's unable to find appointments from these specified organizations, that they would then be able to appoint from groups who are not specifically listed.
Can I give this to Ron? Some of yourself.
Well, okay. We might not be able to do this just yet then. And can somebody get some language so that we can fix this thing up so it looks the way we think the agreement was?
Yeah. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This was actually my bill that I carried, and I was pretty happy with the language before, and I told the department that this amendment should have been shown to the sponsor of the bill. They didn't do it. I'd move that we just move this off to the side until the two parties decide that...
Yeah, we won't act on it right now.
So.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, roll for one. Let's go for another one. Say your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jean Lee, President Executive Director of Children's Hope International, R&R Family Centers, and for APAC, which is the Asian Pacific American Housing Consortium. I think on this issue, it's somewhat changed, but it says it may invite representatives from state agencies and all these other groups as far as ex officio non-voting members. So that would just raise a concern as far as we originally asked that.
We're going to lay it aside. We're not going to do this right now. So
if
you want to get your input to the people who are writing it, go right ahead. Okay. A103, what do we got here now?
Mr. Chair and members, this is the language that replaces what is in the House bill now known as the JEAP. It's the Education and Apprenticeship Program. In the current bill, it's under the Department of Labor and Industry. This moves it to the Department of Employment and Economic Development. It is no longer an apprenticeship program. It is a customized training program for skilled manufacturing industries. It would be a partnership between the departments of DEED, DALI, and four named MINSCU institutions that have these customized training programs.
We have to run up and vote. We'll be right back.
We're in really good shape, so this is on deep.
So we'll take a minute. We got to eat all that cheese.
Where are we going? This one okay?
We're good with this.
What the hell? It's kind of a goat rodeo, isn't it? You got a little cracker in there. Might have to have one. Where are you going? Okay. Have a little sausage.
We're gonna go up. Actually,
what kind of sausage is this?
Ready? Hey, we'll come back to order. Okay.
No.
Right. Representative Atkins, you have A130639 amendment.
I do. Mr. Chairman, the A130639 is a report that we're asking the Commissioner of Commerce, and for those who don't have it in hand, she'll review Minnesota law and rules to determine whether there are adequate protections for purchases of life insurance policies in the secondary life insurance market, with the report coming back by December of this year. We've had sort of different points of view relative to the viability of the secondary market for life insurance policies here in Minnesota. And I think it would add some terrific clarity to have the commissioner weigh in on where things stand with respect to that. That's the underlying reason for the amendment.
Seems innocuous. Seems important. Does anybody have any comments on this? Okay. Seeing none, Representative Atkins renews his motion on the A13-0639 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Jensen, would you like me to go through the offer, or do you want to go through the offer?
Mr. Chairman, I'll go through it quickly, if that's okay.
That's a good idea. Okay. Just go through the changes. That's all we need to go through.
Mr. Chairman, do the members have the spreadsheet?
I believe we all have the spreadsheet with the gray lines on them. They don't all have them yet? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is the same spreadsheet we've been using for the conference committee. On the right-hand side is some areas that are shaded. Those are the changes from last night. The first change was on the Minnesota Job Creation Fund. It was $12.5 million, and it's down to $12 million each year. And the tails are at $12.5 million. Down on line about 16, the broadband development office was transferred from the Commerce Department to deed at $250,000 each year with the money in the tails. The Minnesota Film and TV Board, those are the gray areas on your right-hand side, was $1.5 million. That's been increased to $5 million each year with the $5 million in the tails. That's the only changes on page one.
Mr. Jensen, I don't think the tails change in this. I think isn't it one-time money?
Which one, Mr. Jones?
On the film board, I think the tails stay at 1.5 and 1.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Mr. Chairman, fine.
Okay, all right.
Mr. Chairman, page two, there was a change to the fast track Minnesota Adult Careers Pathway Program. It was at $2.5 million a year. It was reduced to $2 million each year. And the tails were the same at $1.59 million. And the $500,000 was moved as a direct appropriation to the Opportunities Industrialization Centers, $500,000 each year. And that amount is in the tails.
You know, on the OIC, I've got an amendment coming a little later, but the OIC is probably, there's four of them, as I know. Do you mind? Hopefully you won't be unsettled by the idea. Just if we're going to do this, we may as well go the whole hog and put a buck and a quarter on for each one of the four each year and one.
That'll work. And do you want to reduce the fast track further, or?
Yeah, I was going to make the motion to make the fast track $1.5 million. Tails would be $3 million, and then the column marked 16 FY16 rather than 15.9, make it 15.00. And then $3 million.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next change is on page three, line 144, the direct appropriation base for extended employment. You can see on column fiscal year 14, the $500,000 was added to the base for each year, and that carries forward into the tails. The employment support increase for those persons with mental illness stayed at $500,000 each year, but the tails were removed for that program. Page 4, there were no changes. Page 5, there were no changes. Page 6, there were no changes. Page 7, line 385, for the tourism marketing, it was $5 million, and this has been increased to $5.5 million each year. That goes into the budget tails also. Page 8, there were no changes. Page 9, there were no changes. Page 10, line 532, was $500,000 each year. $250,000 went into transferred to deed for the broadband development office. $150,000 is used for the low-income weatherization grants. $100,000 stays within the Department of Commerce for their use. Mr. Chairman, page 11, line 562, the weatherization program. The Senate had $2 million in the first year, and that $2 million is restated on this sheet. And then the $150,000 for low-income weatherization grants was changed from special revenue to the general fund, total of $300,000. Page 12, about line 638A, I guess it would be, you can see there's $10 million of more revenue coming into the Conference Committee from the assigned risk plan. And that's how we balance out on line 651. We're still at the same target there.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, just so I'm clear, we're on the broadband, Office of Broadband Development. Where's the money that you put it in over in the Office of Deed?
Here it is right here.
On page 1? Okay.
You left 100
Mr. Chairman,
in
page
yep.
1, about line 16 or so, 15 or 16.
Yep. I see it now.
Where do we put the 500?
Dropped it back to us. It went back to workforce development.
So, well, Mr. Chairman, this is our offer.
All right. Well, we will consider that. It looks like a pretty good offer, but we need to get our full complement of members here.
Okay.
I don't know if we can even do any business with just two of us here. Need a third.
Well, you got a phone?
God, the fact that we're missing a House member versus missing Senate members?
I know, that's ugly.
Dang.
Karen's probably pretty busy. Do we technically have a quorum since they were present?
Chair, you have a quorum, but you need three members from each side to
vote on it.
I know, but they were here, so does that mean they still are?
They have to vote.
Because then you can come up with a majority of the quorum, even though.
that on? It's on. Okay. We're thinking with the floor session the way it's going that maybe the best thing to do here is a recess till 9 o'clock tonight. And so we'll do that now, and we'll come back and try and button this bill up tonight if the offer is accepted and everything goes on. So hopefully we get this done tonight yet. So the meeting is in recess.